Hello, everybody. We are gathered here today for the 177th session of Mindfulness for Beginners in English conducted by Nisaranavanaya. I would like to welcome Venerable Homagama Dhammakusala Thero for this session. And I'd like to welcome everyone who's participating via Zoom, Facebook live stream, and anyone who may be watching later. Our program will commence as usual with the in-session practice of mindfulness. And we will be then followed by the topic, a talk on today's topic. We will then move on to any reports and questions towards the end. To begin this session, we now invite Venerable Homagama Dhammakusala Thero to start the in-session practice of mindfulness.
Hello everyone. Today we can do a sit-in session to start today's program. For this, you can sit in a comfortable manner, adjust your posture. Once you are balanced and comfortable, you can gently close your eyes. Now you are seated and you have your eyes closed. Notice what you feel in the present moment. You might hear surrounding sounds. Some sounds are soft, some are loud. Some are nearby, some are far away. A variety of sounds are there. In addition, you may feel bodily sensations. Breathing, for example, or the pressure on your back. Time to time, you get thoughts, memories. Future planning happens. All of these things come and go. We simply try to practice awareness among all these things. Simply being aware and observing what is happening in the present. Let's try and continue the mindful sitting practice for a few more minutes. Okay, everyone. That's our time to do a mindful sitting session today. This is just to give you an idea. With this idea, with this short practice, you can try on your own and see how this mindful sitting can be achieved. With that, Sonali, you can take over.
Thank you, Bhante. Next, we have the talk on today's topic. The topic we have chosen for this week and next week is freedom versus safety. For this, I invite Bhante again to start the talk on today's topic.
Okay, everyone. So this time we have this new topic. It's an interesting topic. We will see how we can relate this topic to the practice, and we will take some time to discuss this. Now, if I ask you the question, would you rather be safe or free? If you think about it a little, then most of you would say probably you need both. You need safety as well as you need freedom. That's the idea that you get. And mostly we think that these two words are synonymous. It means that if you are safe, if you are free, that's the idea. You feel like they are interchangeable. But in reality, if you really think about it, if you really experience this, you realize they are more like opposite goals. You can either be free or you can either be safe. If you want to be safe, then you have to sacrifice your freedom. If you want to be free, then you might have to sacrifice your safety. Right? So initially, although you feel like they are interchangeable, although you feel like you need both, these two words, they are more like opposite goals. More safe you are, less freedom you will have, and vice versa. Now let's try to see what this means. Now, in a way, think about the modern highways. They facilitate travel. You get to travel in a short period and you get to your destination. So when we think about these roads, these highways, in a way we feel that they facilitate the freedom of travel. They allow you to travel quickly and freely. That's what you feel. But when you really think about it, in a way, although these highways and roads are allowing you to travel, in a way, they limit your freedom as well. Now, when you travel on roads or highways, there are so many limitations. There are speed limits, then there are bumpers, there are red lights, right? So all those limitations are there. You feel like they facilitate the freedom of travel, but in a way they are restricting the freedom of travel, and they are restricting these things due to our safety. Right, all these limitations are applied due to our safety, and you are no longer able to wander aimlessly. You can't travel like that. You are not allowed to travel like that. You have to take the dedicated road. You have to go according to all these rules. So if we take this example of highways and roads, although you feel like they are facilitating the freedom of travel, in a way, they restrict your freedom of travel. For your safety, they will say you have to travel to this speed limit. You have to follow all these regulations, rules. You have to have insurance. You have to have the vehicle safety. All these things are applied in the sake of safety. So you can see, either you can be free or either you can be safe. You can't have both. More safe you want to be, more restrictions there will be. Then let's take another example. Let's take the modern parks, right? They allow you to go there. They allow you to, you know, spend a good quality time in nature. And you can take your family, children, right? That way, you get to enjoy. But these parks also have certain limitations, regulations. Probably park closes at 6 p.m. You are not allowed to go in afterwards. And there are so many rules and regulations that you have to follow in that park. Right, there are many warning signs, not to do this, not to do that, right? So all those things are applied. Why? Because you have to be safe. We feel like these parks, they allow us to, you know, spend time freely. But in a way, that very effort will restrict our freedom, because we have to be safe, right? So even in a park, you have to sacrifice your freedom in order to be safe, right? Let's think about the ocean. No, you are no longer allowed to, you know, just simply swim in the ocean. That's not allowed. There are dedicated areas that you are able to swim, and you will always swim under the watch of a lifeguard. And when you go there are so many rules and regulations, right? You are not allowed to swim freely into the ocean. You have to limit yourself. You have to restrict yourself according to those rules and regulations. Why? You got to be safe. You got to be safe, right? And let's say there's this mass surveillance that governments apply. Especially countries like China, you can see so many mass surveillance. And all the CCTV cameras, they are everywhere. And they have this face identification technology. So wherever you go, they can simply identify with the camera. And that camera will label you. This is that person traveling this way, right? So if you go and ask the government why there are so many cameras and this mass surveillance is there, they will say it's to protect your safety. It's to protect the people. That's why the government does it. That's the justification, right? So in a way, all these CCTV cameras, mass surveillance, it feels like they are there to help us be free and safe in the environment. But in a way, these things limit our freedom. You are no longer able to travel without being identified by these devices. You are no longer able to be yourself without getting caught in a camera. Right? So you can see how these modern things are restricting our freedom for our safety. Right? Same goes for many other things. Now, let's say the pets. You can have pets, right? But there are so many rules and regulations. Maybe you have to castrate them. Maybe you have to license them. Maybe you have to give them proper injections, medicines, all those things, right? So you are able to enjoy the company of your pets. But in a way, for your own safety, you have to follow all those rules and regulations. Let's say being sick, right? Being sick, having some illness, can you simply be with yourself? Can you simply be with the sickness? No, that's not allowed in this modern society. You have to go to the hospital. You can't stay at home. Earlier, they used to have home deliveries for the pregnant mothers, but now no longer those things are allowed, right? So you can see you have to go to the hospital, you have to follow all these instructions. Even dying, you won't be allowed to do it in your own comfort, right? You have to go through this hospital process. That's the way to die. Nobody is allowed to die at home. Even in this monastery, it's not easy to do that, right? Because the other monks, they get together and somehow take you to the hospital. They think that that's their duty, that's their responsibility, right? So you are not even allowed to be sick. You are not even allowed to, you know, die on your own. You have to go through all these regulations, rules. Why? Because we have to assure the safety and protection of all these people. Right? So you can see how these modern societies are limiting our freedom more and more. They are limiting our freedom for the sake of safety. All those highways, they limit the free travel. All those parks, they limit the ability for you to wander into the forest. All the swimming areas that you are allowed to use, that limits the ability for you to go into the ocean. All the mass surveillance limits your behaviors and freedom. So you can see all these things. You can either have the freedom or you can either have the safety. You can't have both. They are more like opposite goals. If you want to be safe, then you have to sacrifice a lot of your freedom. If you want to be free, then you have to risk it. That's the very idea. That's the very idea. Now, somebody was telling me yesterday that in a country like Sweden, they are simply allowed to, you know, go into the forest and pick mushrooms for them to eat, travel in the forest for many hours. So those things are still they are able to do. And in order to do that, they have to risk it. They have to risk their safety. When you wander into the forest, you don't know what you will meet. Maybe you will meet a bear and it will attack you. When you simply go and pick mushrooms, some mushrooms are poisonous. You never know, right? So that's how it works. If you want to enjoy the freedom, then you have to sacrifice your safety. If you want to be safe, then you have to sacrifice your freedom. Right? So that's the thing. That's how these modern societies work. That's how we are ought to live our lives. I heard this news some many years back. In USA, they have banned the use of alcohol. Right? When you ban the use of alcohol, they try to, you know, reduce the alcohol related crime. That's what they try to do. And increase the safety health of the society. That's what they try to do. But it took a sarcastic twist, and by after banning the alcohol, they saw an increase in the drug-related crimes. Right? So can you believe they banned alcohol for the safety, and as a result, they saw an increase of the drug-related, alcohol-related crimes. So this is how the society works, right? If you want to limit your freedom, then you will be free. If you want to be free, then you have to sacrifice your safety, right? So these things, they are opposite goals. These things are there, they are opposite goals. And that's how these modern societies work. Now, let's say even in our meditation, if you want to really be free in your mind, then you have to sacrifice your safety a lot. The meditators, they are not considering about the safety. Instead, they seek the freedom within. And that takes a lot of effort, that takes a lot of time. But in the process, they have to sacrifice their safety. Let's say the meditation, if you want to help your practice a lot, if you want to develop your practice, you have to simply allow your mind to wander freely and simply watch. Simply allow the mind to move freely and watch where it goes. But in that process, we are risking our safety. When you allow the mind to flow freely, certain past memories, incidents, those things come to our mind, and they are not comfortable. It's not easy to experience these things. You feel like torture. But in order to find freedom in your mind, you have to go through this process, and in a way, you have to sacrifice your safety. When it comes to a meditating environment, when it comes to a monastery or a forest, you are always sacrificing certain aspects of your safety. For the sake of the practice, we sacrifice. For the sake of our freedom, we sacrifice. Usually the practitioners, they don't like to be restrained by the society. They don't like to be restrained by all the rules and regulations. They are more like black sheep. And in a way, they are sacrificing their safety in order to find freedom within. Most people, the mass society, they would prefer their safety. Especially when it comes to Sri Lankan communities, they think that meditation is not something for them. They think that meditation is for the monks. They would prefer being in their safe environment. They would prefer being in that comfort zone. They don't want to risk it. Right? So in a way, they know that meditation is taking a risk. When you try to meditate, you don't know what will happen. So either instead of taking that risk, they want to be free in their own, they want to be safe in their own comfort zone, in their own comfortable environment. They don't want to go outside into a forest. They don't want to come into a monastery or a meditation center. They don't want to go through that difficult process. They would rather be safe in their comfortable environments. And in a way, this mind is also the same. This mind has a lot of bondage. And it is bounded by these thoughts, memories. And you are always bounded by them. You appreciate your thoughts. You think that they are making you comfortable. You think that they are making you safe. So you indulge them, you encourage them. Again and again, you have your own views, you have your own concepts, you have your own thoughts. And you keep on encouraging, indulging those views, concepts, thoughts. Right? But you don't want to go through this process of giving them up because you are comfortable with those views. You are comfortable with those concepts. You are comfortable with your own thoughts. Thinking in a different way is more like risking it. Being open to a different view is more like risking it. Maybe you have to risk a part of your ego. Maybe you have to risk something that you value. So we dare not to think that way. We dare not to be open to the other views. That's how we try to be safe in our little comfortable space. But when you practice meditation, when you practice mindfulness, in a way you allow the freedom for your mind to think. You try to be open to the other views. You try to listen to the things that are happening. You try to be open, keep your eyes open for the things that are happening. And in a way, it's risking your safety. It's risking your ego. We don't want to sacrifice the ego. We don't want to risk it. Let's say having an argument with somebody. Why we are doing that? Maybe to protect our ego. If you simply accept other person's view, if you simply accept that you are wrong, then you sacrifice, then you risk a part of your ego. So that's why we dare not to do it. We take hours of fighting arguments, but we don't want to simply accept that we were wrong. Right? So that's how we do. That's how our mind works. And some of the situations your mind keeps thinking, I did this. Without me, this won't be done. I am the person who did this. I take the responsibility for this. This is my work. Right? So that way, this I-centered thinking patterns are there. In our mind, we are indulging our own ego by saying, this is me. I have done this. I have the ability to do. Without me, they won't be able to survive. Without me, they won't be able to do it. Right, so that way we are comfortable in our ego, we are indulging our ego. But think about the people, all the people who are dead. Right, so it feels like nobody who was really necessary died. Nobody who was so important died. Because even without them, the world continued. The people moved on. They managed their own work. That's how they did. So those people who are died, who are dead, they too thought maybe I'm the person doing this. Without me, they won't be able to handle it. But they died and the world moved on. Even their own family members, children, they started surviving on their own. So you can see, although you feel like you are the most important person, although you feel like you add so much value to this process, in reality, even without us, the world will continue. The family members will continue. So this way you can see, we, in our meditation practice, we risk our ego, we sacrifice our ego in order to be free from all the bondage. All the bondage in this mind, you gotta let them go. And letting go this process, it's risking it. It's not easy. It's risking your ego. It's risking your views, thoughts. It's not easy. But you have to risk it all in order to find the ultimate freedom. That is the process of meditation. That's the process of meditation. Right? We try to keep our mind in an open manner. We are open to the thoughts. We are open to the views. We are open to the other ideas. That openness, that balanced mind, we try to maintain. Let's say even somebody comes with a certain kind of a view of a problem, of an incident. They say, this is how I see, this is what has happened. That way they see. But you don't have to agree or disagree with that person. You can simply acknowledge their statement, but you don't have to jump into a conclusion. Usually our mind, it jumps into conclusions. Even without hearing the full story, sometimes you agree with that person. Sometimes immediately you react with disagreement. Right? So this is how our mind works. But instead, if you simply acknowledge their statement, try to maintain this openness in your mind without agreeing or disagreeing, that's the way of the practice. But it's not easy. It's going beyond our comfort zone, our safety zone. Right? We are risking it. We are taking a risk. We go into the unknown. That's the whole process of meditation. Starting from known, go into the unknown. That's the process of meditation. Let's say sometimes you start with the breathing. You feel the in-breath, you feel the out-breath, and that is more like known. Breath we know. Breath, with breath we are comfortable. But when the meditation evolves, when the meditation takes its pace, what happens is that you realize you are little by little dragged into the unknown. This unknown is risking it. This unknown, you don't feel that comfortable. Sometimes various thoughts, memories come. Sometimes you see certain images. Sometimes you feel these weird sensations arising in your body. So when you go through this process, when you go from known to unknown, in a way, you are taking a risk. You are sacrificing your safety. But in the process, you can find the ultimate freedom. That's the very idea. So in the meditation process, you can't always be safe. You are taking a risk, but you are taking a risk in order to find freedom in this mind. Some people, they worry that if I do meditation, I might get certain kind of a mental illness. mostly it's not the meditation that triggers the mental illness. Instead, that person had some weakness, and in the meditation it was surfaced, it was revealed. Right? So anyway, people worry that they might get certain mental illnesses due to meditation, and they don't want to risk it. They are comfortable in their own bondage. They are comfortable in their own suffering. Right? So this is the world. This is how it works. But the meditators, they take a risk. They sacrifice their safety. And in the process, they try to find freedom. It's not guaranteed for everyone. You are taking a risk. Sometimes you lose. That's also true. Right? But without taking the risk, how would you know that you won't be able to achieve that freedom in, that freedom within? Right? So that's the process. Even, let's say, all those things I mentioned earlier, let's say sickness, for example, you don't quickly rush into the safety of a hospital, right? Certain mild sicknesses, you can simply watch mindfully, simply be with the sickness and see how the body will handle it. Right? You don't have to run for safety all the time. You don't have to seek help of the hospital all the time. Sometimes serious sicknesses, sometimes accidents, you might have to go definitely. But you don't have to go so often. You don't have to consult your doctor for every little thing that you get. No matter how safe you try to be, one day the death will come. Sickness will come. You have to go through that process, right? So if you accept this, if you accept this risk, then that very risk will allow you to find the freedom within. Even some people, they worry and they tell about the environment of the monastery. They say, Bhante, there are so many trees. When the wind is blowing, it is so risky. There are so many insects, spiders and snakes in the forest. So it's risky. Of course, it's risky. Right? We are taking that risk in order to find freedom within. And although you don't feel it, you can't always be so much safe even in a modern city. You feel like you are safe, you limit yourself to all those rules and regulations, still there's a very likelihood that you get into an accident. There are so many other things that will create risk for you. So you can see, no matter where you go, no matter how safe you will be, always you have a risk. So instead of limiting your freedom, thinking about these things, worrying about these things, why not find the freedom within? Why not enjoy the freedom within? That's the very idea. You are taking a risk, but you take that risk in order to enjoy the freedom within. You have to go through that process. You have to take that process. And as a result, you may get to find the freedom within. Right? So even in the outside world, you have a choice. You have a choice. Be aware of this trade-off. You are either limiting your freedom for the safety. You are either limiting your safety for the freedom. So in a way, it helps to be conscious about it. It helps for you to be aware about it. Whatever the decisions, choices that you make for your safety, of course, they will limit your freedom. But you have to go through that process. Sometimes you have to say, take certain choices, take certain rules and regulations, but you have to know that I am sacrificing my freedom in the process. That very awareness is important. Most of the people, they are not even aware about these things. They don't know how these mass surveillance will limit their freedom for the sake of the safety of the society. Right? But that's how it is. Even you remember the COVID pandemic time. This China, they have done strict regulations and they have limited the COVID cases to a minimum. But in the process, they sacrifice the freedom of the people. And I saw this video. These people are not allowed to come out of their apartments. And for so many days, for so many months, they are restricted to their own apartments. And these people are screaming. So many buildings, so many housing complexes, and everybody is screaming. It's like, feels like end of the world. Right? So that's how it is. That's how it is. At least we have to be aware of this trade-off. We have to be aware we are sacrificing our freedom in order to be safe. Right? That very awareness is important. Little by little, you can go through the process of meditation. You can take that risk and find the freedom within. And if you do to the utmost, then you will be able to find the utmost freedom within. In a way, one day you'll have to risk it all. That's why they say the practice is dying before dying. That's the very practice. In a way, through the process of meditation, you die before your actual death. Right? So you can see how much risk that you are taking. It's a process of dying. In a way, all your concepts, all your views, all your values, they have to die. They have to die in order for you to be reborn. In order for you to be reborn as a free person, as a free spirit. Right? So that's how it is. That's how it is. In the process of meditation, we risk it all, and as a result, we may be able to find the utmost freedom within. When you risk it all, when you give up it all, then you'll be able to find the utmost freedom. So you can see it's always a trade-off. You can either be safe or you can either be free. Which one do you prefer? That's the topic for today. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Vante. Next on the agenda is the reports and questions. And to start this section, I invite Arosha to the program.
With your permission, Vante, thank you very much, Sonali. So before I read the practice reports that have been received today, I'd like to give a quick reminder of the instructions for this program. So in order to help us establish the basic mindful walking and mindful sitting practice, there are two videos, the links shared in the screen, and I'm sure will be added to the chat soon as well. So please watch these videos on mindful walking and mindful sitting, and then allocate some time each day to practice each form of meditation. And continue that for a few days until you've managed to do at least 2 hours of mindful walking and 2 hours of mindful sitting. At this point, you would be ready to write a report and of your experience, separating that into the titles of mindful walking and mindful sitting. And for each practice, you can describe what you felt as you were doing the mindfulness practice. So, as when you're walking mindfully, you could note the sensations, the prominent sensations like the texture of the ground, the pressure points on the soles of your feet, how your body weight shifted, and so on. And for sitting, there might be similar pressure points where your body touches the ground or the cushion or your seat, but also the incoming and outgoing breath at the nostrils, the raising of your abdomen, and so on. So once you've written your report, you can send that to us either using the Google form linked here or by email to beginnersnv@gmail.com. And we will read your report during the session each week. And I request Bhante to provide some advice and feedback to help you continue your practice. And then, yes, we ask you to continue your practice and participating in the sessions and continuing to send in reports so that you can continue your development in mindfulness. And finally, just to note that the recordings of all the programs are available from the Nisarnavane website. So even if you miss a session where you have sent in a report, you can always go back and listen to it in the recording. So with that now, I will move on to reading the reports received today, Bhante. We have one report from an adult. It's organized into three parts: mindful sitting, mindful walking, and mindfulness during the day. The report begins, mindful sitting. Sat in a comfortable position under a tree at the beach. Heat of the sun felt on the face, hands, and legs. Sound of waves, rustling of trees, and people talking nearby heard. Subtle breath noted with rise and fall of stomach. Calmness noted. Body was peaceful in the sitting position. Heat, sounds, breathing were noticed alternatively. Sat for 40 minutes, mind alert. Went in the water afterwards. Mindful walking. Walked on the beach in the morning. Powdery sand was warm underfoot. Toes dug into sand when waves reached feet to keep the balance in the body. Weight shifted from side to side. Feet movements were slow. Attention would move between view of horizon, clear waters, boats far away, and sound of waves. Aware of feet movements too. On the way back, saw the footprints in the sand disappearing with waves or with others stepping in the same places. Husband stopped to take pictures, so continued to walk back to the starting point. Walked for 1 hour. Tingling sensations in the soles continued for a while afterwards. Mindfulness during the day. Packing for this holiday was interesting. Less pressure felt. Mind has less insecurity, so packed essentials and only a few extras. Hand luggage was almost empty. Felt good. Returning home this Sunday, and there is much less to pack again. Bags are lighter, and so is the mind. Meal times are also a revelation. Deliberately stood at the array of food to watch what arose in the mind, but it was neutral. Mind noted the colors, shapes, and aromas, but mental discipline was clearer, not as controlling the mind, but as a calm feeling of freedom. It was easy to serve only what the body needed and being able to finish what was on the plate. This does not mean that the mind was neutral all the time. Happiness, calmness, sense of freedom, as well as tiredness from the heat, etc., were experienced as it arose, and because there was little proliferation, it passed away without lingering. A bit like the surface of the sea with the waves moving, but less agitation in the depth of the ocean. Dear Bhante, look forward to your valuable feedback and immense gratitude for the practical guidance. Theruvan Saranai. report ends.
Okay, right. So it's a pleasure to hear such experiences. You can see how much of a difference this very practice can make in your life. And I noticed one of the comments from you, bags are lighter and the mind too. Right, earlier we used to pack a lot of heavy duty bags, right? And it's not, the space is always not enough. And sometimes you give, pay extra and carry these things, right? So that's how we used to do. And you think that without those things, you can't be enjoying the holidays, you can't be free, right? So that's how we felt. But when you do the practice, when you evolve through the process, right, you can see how this lightheartedness, right, your bags are lighter, even your heart is lighter. That's the real change that will happen. And in that process, you enjoy whatever in the present moment. Think about, you know, who knew that you would sit under a tree in the beach and meditate? Who knew that you could spend 40 minutes so peacefully, comfortably like that? Who knew that you get to, you know, swim in the ocean afterwards? Right? So, but that's how it is. That's how it is. And you enjoy each and every moment. Whenever food is put in your plates, you simply enjoy that. Whatever you are doing, you simply enjoy that. And you have to understand, it's not always about the peace or the pleasure. Right? It's not always like that. Sometimes agitations come. Sometimes sadness comes. Sometimes anger arises. But these also, you have to accept them. In that situation, that's the reality. You can't deny that. When the agitation comes, that's your reality. Some days you feel sad and anxious for no reason, and that's your day. Right? So in the process, we try to learn or relearn ourselves to accept whatever that comes our way. If it is anxious and sadness today, that's my day. If it is anger in the moment, that's the moment that I am experiencing. Right? So that is how we go through the process. Some people think that it is always about, you know, freedom. It is always about feeling calm in your mind. No, that's not how it is. Time to time, these anxious things come. Time to time, anger appears. But that's your very reality. Simply accept that. That's why that Winnie the Pooh, he says, he asked from one of his friends, which day is this? Is it? And the friend answers, it's today. And the Winnie says, my favorite day. Right? What's your favorite day? Today. That's my favorite day. Right? So we say, that's my favorite day. That's my favorite moment. Today or this moment, now. If it is sadness that's there in the now, then we simply accept that's our reality for today. If it is anxious feeling that's there in the present, we simply accept it. Right? That very acceptance will evolve you in this process. And that's how you have to continue your practice. Don't think that it will be always peace or calmness in your mind. That's not how it is. Right? In your report, you have mostly experienced the positive aspects, but time to time you feel no energy. Time to time you feel this anxious feelings for no reason. Time to time you get angry. Right? All those things are valid. Whatever comes, we simply accept it without trying to control or fight it. That's the very idea. I'm sure you can find more and more enjoyment in the process of meditation. Simply go through this process again and again. The challenge is to continue this for a decade. Right? If you can simply continue this for a decade, then you will be a whole different person. I read this one of these books. A foreigner, he goes in search of a meditation master, and he goes into a deep forest. This is 1980s. He goes into a deep forest and he sees this meditation master, reputed teacher who lives in this monastery, and they don't have much. They don't have all the luxuries, but this master is so happy and peaceful. And this foreigner, he feels like this person, he's like a frog in a pond, right? And this person argues to himself, if I can be this happy by spending 30 years in a forest, then it's worth doing it. That's what the foreigner thinks. Because he comes from this complex world. He comes from these modern societies. He is anxious, he is sad, he is suffering with some kind of anxiety during that time. So he thinks, if it takes 30 years in a forest to be this happy, then it's worth doing it. He sees this meditation master and he sees him like a frog who is in a pond, always happy and comfortable. Right? So that's how it is. You go through the process. You take it for like so long, you do it for decades, and as a result, you are gifted the utmost freedom. All right, so that's the very idea. Thanks for sharing.
Thank you very much, Bhante. We also have some time for questions, and I see that Buddhika has his hand raised. So if we could invite Buddhika, I'll ask you to unmute and ask your question, please.
Terun San Nang Bhante. I have a couple of things to tell Bhante about from the Dhamma talk. I will start. Bhante was talking about not fighting on to emphasize your opinion, thinking your opinion is greater than somebody else's. I kind of notice in this because I have teenagers. So I, down the line, now I'm realizing when we have like arguments or discussions about certain things, about the curfew line or curfew time, they come up with different ideas. So like through these experiences, I have realized it's not just I know everything just because I'm too old. And they also, even they are little, they have valid points, and they have a different vision that also very valid. So this is just the children. And through this, I have realized, and it can be applied to every situation, every discussion, every talk. And it's not just my view. It doesn't mean that my view is wrong. But it is helping me to accept and see through somebody else's lens as well. And sometimes we agree to disagree, but that my view is the best view, that perception is kind of shaken, I will say. And this experience I wanted to share. And also, Bhante was explaining for the report about being accepting people and be in the moment. That is something I kind of really value that Bhante's advice, because we always come to meditation thinking we are looking for somewhere like a white paper or white cloth. There is no dust, nothing. But Bhante's advice is telling us it's not looking for something that doesn't have dirt, but accepting that I am angry now, I'm frustrated now, I'm sad now, I'm shaken now. And accepting that, be okay with that, is what practice is bringing us to. Practice is leading us to. I wanted to mention these two things. Thank you very much, Bhante. Teran Sarnai.
Okay, thanks for sharing your ideas. Now, the first one, I would say that there'll be the most valuable meditation teachers that you found in your life, because this very process of, you know, raising teenagers, it's a whole new game, right? So if you accept in the proper way as a meditative practice, then those two will teach you a whole lot. I'm not saying simply to accept whatever they say. What I'm saying is this very struggle, take it as a challenge, take it as a game that you play, right, with them. And you can always observe the reactions with it. You can observe how you try to keep them safe. You can observe how your side of things, and somehow they find a different argument. Somehow they find a different view of things, right? So this very struggle that you go through, and maybe will go through for many more years, take it as a game, take it as a meditation. And that very process can help you grow, help you develop your mind or uplift your mind into a different level, right? So that very experience you are explaining, the one would be, like you said, for a single incident, different people have different views on it. There is no right or wrong view. And said simply, that's how they see it. So what can we do? Right? If a person is wearing, let's say, blue color sunglasses, then that person will see the entire world in blue. Can you argue differently? No, that's how they see it. Right? So that's the perception. Those sunglasses, that's the perception of our mind. We see this world through that perception, through those sunglasses in our mind. And we are programmed to see the world in a certain way. Right? So, and that's the struggle. No matter how much you say, no matter how much you try, you are not able to change it, because somebody else sees the world in a different way. And even their attitudes, their way of behaving, as a mother, you would think that you can control them. You can change their behavior, you can advise them, you can direct them towards a correct path. As a mother, you would think, but in the process you realize most people, they have their own karmic forces, right? They follow a certain path in life. I don't think advising would do much difference. They will simply sometimes accept that advice, simply accept that punishment, right? Keep their heads low, but next day they'll be the same person, right? So that is how it is. Change will happen only through seeing by oneself, seeing your own faults, seeing your own mistakes, seeing how you get caught in these views, only by oneself the change will happen. Nobody else can do that change for you. Right? Somebody might be able to help you, but true change will happen only by oneself, being aware by oneself, seeing the faults by oneself. No other person can change you. Right? So same goes for your children. They too behave in a certain way. They are more like programmed to do it. And no matter how much you try, sometimes they get into trouble. Sometimes they go into directions that you don't like. What can you do? Right? So in the process, you can evolve. You can evolve. See how these things happen. See sometimes how your effort is wasted. See sometimes how they are not changing. See how different views are there on the same incident. That very process will evolve you. That's the process of meditation. That's why we encourage everybody to go through it. Right? So it's a good phase. The little ones, they are innocent. They will ask, they will listen to you. But when it comes to teenagers, and that's a whole new lesson. And they'll be the meditation teachers for you. They'll create many difficult situations where you have to meditate. Right? So that's the first thing. Then the second one is being in the moment. Yeah, whatever the moment brings, we have to accept it. Right? It's not always about calm, peace, or positive things. Sometimes it's dark. Sometimes it's negative. Right? So whatever that brings, the present moment brings, we have to accept it. That's our very training. It's not easy to do this, but what I am saying is we are in the process of doing it. We are in the process of embracing the moment. And every day by little practice moments, little set meditation sessions, we develop this ability simply to embrace the moment. Whatever it brings, we accept it. Right? So that's the very idea. And I found this very nice Zen quote on this topic. Being in the moment, in spite of whether it's positive or negative, whether it's pleasant or unpleasant. It says, sitting quietly, doing nothing, spring comes and the grass grows by itself. That's more like a Zen quote on this. Right? So these things we have no real control. We sit quietly, doing nothing, and simply accept whatever that comes our way. Maybe certain karmic forces are in action, right? You feel anxious, you feel sad for no reason. Still, accepting it will heal you. Accepting it is the way to go beyond these karmic forces. That's why they say, sitting quietly, doing nothing, spring comes and grass grows by itself. Right? These things appear. They evolve and they go away. That's the very process of existence. And we can train ourselves to accept it more and more. Thanks for sharing your ideas.
Bhante, if I may, like Bhante said, I can't recognize at all, like at once, like if something is changing, like if any anger or mood change or any change of situation comes at once, like I flow with that situation. And sometimes initially I recognize, I need to calm down. Sometimes it takes a while, maybe a day, maybe a few hours, For me to recognize, okay, now I have gotten caught, I got caught up with the situation. I need to distance myself. So, but I am glad that through meditation that could see this even late or in if even if it takes time, could see that. Also, I wanted to ask Mante some advice regarding like when I can accept, like I begin to accept that I am not a fully perfect circle. I have crooked ends, I have broken ends, like I am a work in progress. So when I accept something that I'm not perfect and I have my mistakes like that. So it's easy for me to now see people for who they are when they get angry, or some people are like harsh. So I can sympathize when I accept them for who they are, how they react to situations. So it doesn't always necessarily need the correction. I don't find myself to go and correct or interfere or intervene. I found that really, I don't say relieved. I find that really nice. Doing nothing is really, I can't say it is a relief, but doing nothing is nice. That's what I wanted to share for advice, Bhante.
Yeah, the first one, it's natural that you can get carried away for hours, for days even. But we are in that process of learning ourselves, or we are in this process of evolving ourselves. So later, at least after hours or after days, you realize that you have gotten carried away. You have to distance yourself from the situation. That very process, it's always a learning curve. Right, so that very process is the path. That very process is the meditation, right? So it's not like being perfect. Instead, we make mistakes, we get carried away, but next day it's a fresh day, it's a fresh start, right? So that way we go through this process of meditation, or we go through the path, realize that this is the very path. Right, getting carried away again, correcting yourself, distancing yourself, right, going through this whole process for thousands and thousands of times, and that's the very path, that's the very process of meditation. So go through this process, and little by little you can see you are able to realize it earlier, and you are able to prevent you getting from carried away for these in these situations, and it'll be much more easier for you to distance yourself from the situations. Then the next one, we all are perfectly imperfect. We all are work in progress, WIP, right? There's no perfect person. We all are perfectly imperfect. And when you see, when you become aware of your own imperfections, it's much easier for you to accept somebody else for who they are. That's more like not sympathy, more like empathy, right? So that's what Buddha and all those enlightened ones have. It's not like sympathizing for others, it's more like empathy. I have gone through this struggle and I know what they are going through. Right? I am perfectly imperfect, so I know that person is also having his own flaws. Right? So it create little friction when you experience others, and it helps you to navigate these situations much better. And in a way, you empathize with them because you know you have your own faults. Let's say you are suffering, or maybe you have suffered from an illness. You know what that illness brings. And when you meet somebody else who is suffering with that illness, it's much easier for you to empathize because you know the whole struggle. Right, so that's the very idea. Thanks for sharing. Go through this process and you'll be able to find more freedom within.
Thank you, Bhante, Tehran Sarnai.
Thank you, Buddhika, and thank you, Bhante. Unfortunately, Arosha had to leave the session, so I will take on. Since we're just out of time now, I think we don't have any more time for questions. Thank you to Buddhika who asked that question. It is relevant to all of us, and we have all learned from Bhante's responses as well. So it is time to now end the session. So on behalf of the organizers, I would like to thank Venerable Dhammakusala Thero for his continued guidance on this program. And of course, we cannot forget the Chief Abbot of Nisalanavanaya, Venerable Udayiriyagama Dhammajiva Mahathero, whose idea was to initiate this program. May these merits help them improve their own practice as well. Thank you to all the organizers who are working really hard behind the scene and bringing this program to you on a weekly basis. And thank you to all the participants who are participating via all these different media and also sending in questions and reports as well. And much merit to anyone who would be listening later on and participating as well. As usual, our program will commence at 1 p.m. Sri Lankan time. Just a note to the people who are logging in from the UK, our time is changing next week to 8:30 a.m. And so I wish everyone a happy and mindful week ahead, and I will now end the session.